All right, if you have your Bibles tonight, Philippians chapter 2, let's take just a few minutes to think about. Let's think tonight about Jesus the Messiah is Jesus Christ the Lord. Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse number 5. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending Jesus. Lord Jesus, we thank you for coming with a determined mind, an attitude to sacrifice yourself for us. We ask that tonight you would help us in this brief time together to again come to understand the awesomeness of who you are, Lord Jesus Christ. You are the one that we confess as Lord. And may we truly come to understand what it means for you to be the Lord of our life, Lord of all the things that you permit in our life, Lord of all of the thoughts that we have, Lord of all of our emotions and desires, Lord of all of our relationships, Lord of all. Lord of this world, Lord of the universe, Lord of the created order, Lord of all things, Lord over all things, ruler above all. May we understand tonight just a bit more about the wonderful, wonderful nature of your lordship. And may we learn from your example, as Paul calls these Christians at Philippi to understand. May we learn tonight about what it means to be humble and to do like Jesus. And so, Lord, we thank you for the sweet fellowship we have. Thank you for our boys and girls. And we're reminded that little children lead us many times to understand best what it means to follow Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for the fellowship of our church, and we thank you for all that goes on here and all the ministries and all the life of this church. And may we honor you by following you and loving one another and telling the world about Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, good evening. Good to see all of you. So tonight, let's think about, we're continuing to think about what we confess about Jesus. And tonight, we are privileged to look at another one of those ancient sections in our Bible that describes verses 5 through verse 11. You have what some call an early hymn of the church about Jesus. Others may describe it in other ways, whether it's a song or not. Whether it was an early hymn or not, the focus is upon Jesus as Lord. But I want you to notice that we have three usages or three titles, three descriptions of the name Jesus and his offices, his role, who he is. We've read already, and notice Paul begins by saying, have this attitude in yourselves. So he calls us to have the same attitude. Let me talk for a minute about this word in the have this mind. Some of your Bibles may say have this mind. The idea of this Greek word for attitude is a word that means to have determination, to make a decision, to have determined to go in a certain direction. Have this determination in yourselves, which was also in Christ. And then he begins. What we are familiar with, we use this often, and we quickly move past what it says about Jesus to talk about ourselves and the importance of humility. I want to turn it around. Tonight we're going to focus on what Jesus has done. Because in these words, in verses 5 through 11, you have some of the most amazing, wonderful, incredible truths about Jesus Christ our Lord that we find in all the Bible. So I've put these in what I call seven statements of confession. Seven statements of confession. So we notice, first of all, we confess. So I need to mention this. So you notice in verse 5, we have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. We've learned together, if you did not know this, Christ is the title for Jesus as Messiah. So the first title we looked at when we were thinking about our confession, the good confession, is Jesus is the Messiah. He is the promised one. He is the Messiah. Paul says it this way: have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Messiah Jesus. Have this attitude in you, which was also in Messiah Jesus. Then he comes down and he uses this wonderful name: you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The Hebrew Yeshua, verse 10. So that the name of Jesus. And then we have in verse 11, every tongue will confess Jesus, Messiah, is Lord. The order is very important. None of the words of the Bible are put out of order. They're put in a very specific order. So I want us to think about what we learn about this is, in a brief statement, the story of the coming, the sacrifice, the humiliation, and the glorification of Jesus our Lord. So here's what we learn. First, we confess that Jesus Messiah did not hold to his status of equality with God. We confirm and we believe, notice what 6 says, who although he existed in the form of God, we do not understand, nor will we ever, the mystery of this. We've talked about it before in looking at some of the other passages about the confessions that we have. We do not understand the mystery of how God can be Father, Son, and Spirit. One God revealed Father, Son, and Spirit. Here we see the mystery, and we confess that Jesus Messiah did not seek to maintain his status of equality with God. John says it this way, John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So Jesus speaks on behalf of God. We know that from the Gospels when we read them. Jesus says over and over again, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I only say what the Father wants me to say. So there is this mystery that we confess tonight. This great mystery of the eternal nature of Jesus, who is God. He existed in the form of God, but notice we confess secondly, he did not take his status of equality as something to be held over others. He didn't demand rights because, hey, I'm God in flesh, you should treat me a certain way. No, he did not do that. We confess that Jesus did not seek to hold his status of equality with God. He says here, who although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, to be held onto, his status and position. So we learn that our Lord was not one who would hold on to status and to his rights as being God over others. Second, we confess that Jesus Messiah emptied himself of his privilege of equality with God. Notice, please, what the Bible says in verse 7. Now, verse 6 says, although he existed in the form of God, he did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself. This word emptied is a very powerful word. He laid aside his privileges. He emptied himself. One way of saying it would be this kind of word. He renounced. He renounced his privileges as God. He came, and we confess that Jesus Messiah, the promised one, emptied himself. The idea is not that he emptied himself of being or of who he was. The idea is that of renouncing anything that had to do with status from his God being God. He renounces it. He empties himself. And then we read the third confession. We confess that Jesus Messiah became a man. Verse 7, he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave. And being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man. So God became one of us. God became one of us. He did not, though he existed in the form of God, he did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. He emptied himself and took the form of a slave, and being made in the likeness of men, he being found in appearance as a man. And so we have all of the Gospels that talk to us about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that describe Jesus walking on this earth, doing good, full of grace and truth, healing, teaching, casting out demons, walking among us. He came as a man. We celebrate at Christmas the coming of Jesus, coming to this world, God with us, Emmanuel. So we confess that Jesus Messiah did not seek to hold his status of equality with God. We confess that Jesus Messiah renounced his privilege of equality with God. We confess that Jesus Messiah became a man. You see, all of these things I'm confessing, talking to you about, are critical, crucial teachings about the person of Jesus. We must understand who Jesus is, because there are others who talk about Jesus in ways that do not line up with the Word of God. Help us. They talk about Jesus in ways that are not what we confess. So we confess Jesus in this way. That's why I'm taking the time to do this for us. Then we confess that Jesus Messiah humbled himself by obedience to death on a cross. Verse 8. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient. How long? To the point of death. Even death. And oh, when Paul said these words to this Philippian church, they knew what the Romans did. They knew how Romans put criminals to death on a cross. Read it again, knowing this. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Not just a death. Death on a cross, which was associated with shame and with criminals. So we have this astounding statement about God who comes and becomes one of us. He humbled himself. So we must humble ourselves. We must humble ourselves. Not status. Not expecting of others to treat us a certain way. But we humble ourselves. We humble ourselves by obedience. We humble ourselves by obedience. We're reminded in the book of Hebrews, and I'll read it quickly just for the sake of our time, but we're reminded in the book of Hebrews in chapter 12, verse 2, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. You and I, followers of Jesus, you have not resisted to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin. But when we come to think about our Lord, we confess, number one, that Jesus Messiah did not seek to hold his own status of equality with God. Two, we confess that Jesus Messiah emptied himself of his privileged position of equality with God. Three, we confess that Jesus Messiah became a man, fully man, fully God. Hear me, fully man, fully God. He was not just one who appeared to be a man. No, he was a man, fully man, tempted in all ways like us, yet without sin, fully man, fully God. The mystery of our Lord Jesus. We confess Jesus humbled himself by obedience to death on a cross. And we confess, number five, that Jesus Messiah was highly exalted by God the Father. Verse 9. After all of this is read, although he existed in the form of God, he did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason, God highly exalted him. God highly exalted him. We read so much of this in the book of Hebrews, in the early chapter 1 of Hebrews, we read these amazing words in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 5. For to which of the angels did he ever say, "You are my son, today I have begotten you"? And again, "I will be a father to him, and he shall be a son to me." And when he again brings forth his firstborn into the world, and let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels, he says, who makes his angels winds and his ministers a flame of fire. But of the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. And the righteous scepter is the scepter of his kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your companions. So tonight, we celebrate the fact that Jesus Messiah has been highly exalted. Notice, not exalted, highly exalted. If we could read this in the Greek language in the Hebrew in the book of Philippians, we would discover it means to be super exalted. That's the idea. Super exalted. To raise to a level of high, distinguished honor, absolute, complete honor above everything else. We confess that Jesus Messiah was highly exalted by God the Father. And then we confess that Jesus Messiah was given a name above every name. A name above every name. Our names are important. Every one of our names matter. Our names matter. But this name is the name of names. Would you agree? This is the name of names. This is the name that makes people, this is the name that the world prohibits people from speaking in the media. Why are people afraid of this name? This is the name that causes countries and rulers and governors to make laws against people who would speak this name. What is it about this name? It's just a name, isn't it? No, Mark's right. It is the name above all names. When you speak this name, you know, we learned from Paul. You can only say Jesus is Lord by the Holy Spirit. Did you know that? You can only say Jesus is Lord by the Holy Spirit. This is a very important thing, folks. For in the world today, there are those who would prohibit the church from speaking the name Jesus. The name. What's in a name? What is it about this name? What is it that causes people to run away or to edit it out or bleep it out? Is it a name worse than a curse word? It's a name that causes people to stop because it is the name. It is the name above names. It's the name of names. I can't stop. You know what I'm trying to say. We confess Jesus Messiah was given a name above every name. Every time you sing it, every time you say it, every time you pray it, remember the name you speak. No matter how many years you've said it, no matter how long it's been, there was one day when you did what Romans chapter 10 says, if you will confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be what? Salvation comes from calling and believing on Jesus the Lord. Well, we confess that Jesus was given a name above every name. And then finally, number 7, we confess that at the name of Jesus, two things happen. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess Jesus, Messiah, is Lord. Now let's think about this for a moment. We come now to see. And if your Bible reads like mine, you have in your Bible these helpful reminders when you have an Old Testament quotation. Paul now quotes from a prophecy. He quotes now these words in verse 10. So that at the name of Jesus, Isaiah 45:23, every knee will bow. Let's think for a moment about the bowing of the knee. Do you ever bow when you pray? You should. I know it's hard. I'm an old man and it's hard for me to get on my knees and get up, but there's ways to fix that. Do you ever bow and pray? Do you ever bow and get on your knees? Every knee will bow. There's something about the bowing of the knee. You remember our athletic friend, even though he played at Florida? You remember him? You remember Tim Tebow? Anybody remember? What annoyed the world so much was the bowed knee. That just bothered people so much. That this boy would go out in public and bow the knee. Do you bow the knee to Jesus? Bowing the knee is a picture of submission. It means, look, you can't say Jesus is Lord unless you bow. We bow our head. We bow sometimes with our body. But do you bow your knee? Let me read to you from Isaiah this amazing prophecy. Isaiah 45, beginning in verse number 21. Declare and set forth your case. Indeed, let them consult together. Who has announced this from of old? Who has long since declared it? Is it not I, the Lord? And there is no other God besides me, a righteous God and Savior. There is none except me. Verse 22. Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God and there is no other. I have sworn by myself. The word, listen carefully, the word has gone forth from my mouth in righteousness and will not turn back, that to me every knee will bow and every tongue will swear allegiance. So the prophecy is told of the Messiah. We confess something crazy. We confess that at the name of Jesus, every knee bows. those in heaven willingly, the angels, the saints, bowing. On earth, the followers of Jesus, but also those who do not believe will one day bow the knee to Jesus. And then under the earth, it's a phrase to describe hell, the demons. Why, the demons were practicing this when Jesus walked the earth. Do you remember how many times? What do we have to do with you, Son of God? You remember? The legion, the man with all the demons out in the graveyard, breaking the chains, terrifying the whole community. Jesus gets off a boat, and the demon-possessed man runs to him and bows down before him. At the name of Jesus, we confess. Every knee will bow. Well, Pastor Mike, not every knee's bowing. No. That's right. But we're not done. Jesus is coming again. Jesus will reign on this earth. And He will receive honor from all men. Every knee will bow. But wait a minute. We've been talking about the good confession. Did you think I was going to forget? No. It's verse 11. We believe that every knee will bow. Listen to me, church. Every tongue. Whatever language. Every tongue will confess that Jesus, Messiah or Christ, is Lord to the glory of God. Amen. So that is our confession. We confess that Jesus, Messiah, did not seek to hold his status of equality with God. Verse 6. Although he existed in the form of God, he did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity tonight to just try to put our toe, like in the ocean, the vastness of understanding the person of Jesus Christ our Lord. It's like putting our toe in the ocean. We cannot understand the depths of who you are, Lord Jesus. So we worship you and we confess you. We worship you. We bow before you. And even though we're not on our knees in front of you, we bow. We bow our heads as an act of expressing our submission to you. We submit to you and we confess Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So with our heads bowed, perhaps there's someone here tonight who needs to trust Jesus as Lord and Savior. You've never trusted Jesus as Savior. We ask every time we meet, do you need to know Jesus? Do you need to come to the Lord? Anybody here? Do you need to join this church? Any other spiritual...